Welcome to the third edition of the Team Fortress 2 Roundtable. Dusty can't be here tonight. She's off watching baseball with her kids, so I am taking over. You're stuck with me. But I'm going to do the cool thing and pass it off to What's Your Deal after we do the introductions. What's Your Deal's the ever-diligent co-host.
Hello.
How you doing tonight?
Pretty good. Drinking some Dr. Pepper.
Much happier that you don't have to do it all yourself?
Oh, definitely.
So we're going to be talking about the medic tonight, the only class I actually know at all how to play, so I might even be able to contribute a little bit, mostly to ask questions, say, why do I do this wrong, or why do I do that wrong? With us tonight, we got Burn.
Good evening, sir.
We got Scoot.
How's it going?
And Sketch.
Hola.
And they're going to be telling us everything we need to know about the medic class. And maybe they'll even get into some arguments because they have different opinions. That might be cool, too. It's good radio. So what's your deal? I will pass it on to you, and you can start with the first question.
All right, guys. We all know the medic is a creative team. There is no team that wins a game without a medic, and if they do, well, it's because they suck at it. But anyway, let's move on. From what I understand, when you're playing medic, it's important to pick the proper patient. Who do you usually go for when you're trying to Uber or you're trying to Blitzkrieg?
Well, of course, like a lot of decisions in any game, it's going to be situational. You're going to want to try and pick the person who's got the most advantage on what you're trying to accomplish. If you're rushing a defensive position, you want to pick a Demoman, of course. If you are playing more defensively, Heavy is always good because even once the Uber's over, he can still absorb a high amount of damage. It's always important to know what kind of class you need when the Uber's over. That's just as important as who to pick when the Uber's going in. Always try and picture. It's like when you play pool. When you set your shot up, you're not only setting this shot up, you need to set up where your cue ball is going to be after the shot. And it's just as important. You want to have someone that if your primary target after the Uber goes down, someone to fall back onto so that you can either make a retreat or continue the push.
Sketch, how about you?
That's some great points there. I guess I tend to gravitate toward heavier classes. They just can protect you better. And it always helps when you can team up with some regs or someone who's going to communicate with you. So you know what's hiding around the corner. Because you're a very delicate class as the medic.
And always Langrad, because if you don't want to get yelled at, you just got to keep a stream on Langrad permanently.
Yeah, he'll do enough yelling, exactly. He'll let you know what's happening every second, which is a good thing most of the time.
How about you, Scoot?
It's pretty much the same thing. I tend to prefer either a soldier or a demo most of the time, just because they can keep you safe. If the Uber runs out and there isn't anybody else around to watch your back, they can take some of the damage while returning some fire just so you can get away.
I'll say, as a beginner medic, whatever my team is asking for, I try to accomplish it. So having a team that communicates with you always helps.
Let's go into a little bit more about the Uber and Blitzkrieg. Is there which class is best for the Uber, and which one's the best for the Blitzkrieg, and like how each class compares? Because from what I understand, you only Uber four really main targets: the Pyro, the Demo, the Heavy, and the Soldier. Anyone who Ubers or Blitzkriegs anything else, they're fail medics. Period.
Well, sometimes
I say that.
Yeah, sometimes you pop on whatever is available just to save your skin. So, I mean, if you have to pop an Uber on a scout just to retreat, get back with the rest of the group, then so be it. It's better to use it than lose it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you hit the main four. I guess my favorite to hit is the Pyro just because of the speed and they don't have to reload. You can just barge right in, take out sentries. And I know some things have been changed with the Pyro buffs that Valve keeps messing with, either the nerf or the buff, but Heavy's good as well. Going to take down a sentry nest. Demo's a great one. And then pocketing with the soldier is always good. And that's for the Uber. I guess you guys can also talk about the crits. Who would crits?
Yeah, my personal favorite for the crits has to be the Demoman. The damage capacity there is just ridiculous. His, you know, that area of effect with the crit sticky, and undeniably, how many times have any of us cursed getting hit by a crit sticky and then eight of them in a row?
Yeah.
Always.
And then I have to say my second favorite is a heavy running, correct me, I always forget, with the gun that slows you down, Natasha, correct?
Yeah,
Natasha.
That's the one. Yeah. That gun with crits is brutal because it's so incredibly aggravating to be taking that much damage and not being able to escape because you're going at half the speed. It's just painful.
That's true.
I find that usually demo is like the main one I go with whenever I choose using an Uber or a crit speed because they can do the most damage. But in terms of being a like pocket demo, I find them to be kind of weak in terms of when compared to that to a heavy or the soldier, just because they're Demo is known for not really having that much in terms of close-range weapons. And even though they had the Islander and the Charge and Charge, those don't really benefit you at all because you're not without you're without stickies, and you're not really going to be able to do anything without those.
Well, that brings you to an important part about you don't want to just be a medic and a target. I mean, as always, we emphasize you need to utilize your team. You need to have another person around you that satisfies that close-quarter combat.
So it's usually best just to run with two people instead of one, like have a...
Absolutely. If you're pushing the demo, a pyro is a great buddy. He can handle anything that tries to get in your face, like a scout or a sneaky person get behind you.
Exactly. The pyro can handle the short-range stuff, and then the demo can lob his pills and stickies beyond that.
I mean, there are demos that can pocket pretty well, especially if they're good with their pills, but they're few and very far between.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, it's usually best to just have a soldier, a heavy, or a pyro around you for that close quarters.
All right, so in terms of pocket classes, like which one would you rank in terms of like 1 to 4? Like, would you put the heavy at the top and maybe the demo at the bottom? Or like, how would you rate them? Or do you not have a rating system, you just do whatever?
I like to have a soldier around most of the time just because he can deal a lot of damage quickly, and he's not as slow as a heavy, so he can just move around a little better. I guess after that, probably a demo, mostly for the same reasons. Does a lot of damage and can move quickly as well.
Soldier's really versatile, but I do like to pal up with a good heavy that doesn't overextend. You know, they won't go around the corner and just let their health get way down, or they run out of ammo, and someone's going to talk back with you on the mic and let you know their status and what's around the corner, and realize that it's, you know, it's a combo. You can't lone wolf it as either a medic or a heavy in that case.
That brings you to another really good point about, you know, what it takes to be a good medic's patient. Beyond just quality communication, you have to know when you can take damage, when you need to concentrate on protecting your medic. Be aware if the other team's been running a spy, to know those timings of when the spy is probably going to be coming back around and do diligent spy checking. You know, that's just as important as the medic is being a good patient for the medic.
Now, if the medic dies, then you don't have your Uber.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of how to be a good patient, Sketch and Scoot, burning away into a little bit, what do you guys have to say about what other people can do to help you guys out a little bit?
You know, one of the main things goes with the communication. You need to listen to your medic, because a lot of the time people are so focused trying to kill people and whatnot, and your medic isn't really focused with all that. He's worrying more about the picture as a whole. So he might know a little more about what's going on. You know, he's not going to be looking up at the fight as much. So he might be able to catch the scout trying to come around behind him and catch him off guard, or the spy even. So you need to be paying attention in order to kill that scout or the spy before he gets either one of you.
That actually brings me to a question that kind of goes along with that is, how do you, as an experienced medic, balance the dilemma of A, keeping your patient alive, and B, keeping yourself alive? That's where I fail. I have a tendency to, I pretty much tunnel vision on the guy I'm trying to heal, and sometimes I don't have the situational awareness to realize, oh, I'm in the shit. You know, I need to get the fuck out of Dodge or I'm dead.
Oh, you answered your own question, and that's situational awareness, which is what the medic number one priority is. I mean, healing is great, but healing plays into being aware of what your team is capable of and what the enemy team is capable of, depending on their current positions and numbers. You know, if you're at a strong disadvantage, you know, your job as a medic is to be aware of the fact that you're at a strong disadvantage and coach your team to know that they need to start moving back and need to protect you or hold a particular choke point or pay attention to a particular direction. You know, it's, you know, I've heard it related before that the medic is the quarterback of TF2. And I mean, that's the best analogy that I can think of. It's your job to keep your team aware and to let them know when their group health is. You know, oftentimes in competitive TF2, I have to let my entire team know, hey, we have to stop taking damage now because three of you or four of you are in the red and all screaming for heals, but you all are trying to push. And that's that critical moment when the medic just has to let everyone know, stop, let's take a break, let's get our heals, hold our ground, and then we'll push as a team. You're the coordinator. You are the timing behind the team.
In a way, you almost have to take a holistic approach to the whole
game. Absolutely. You're juggling a lot. You've got to monitor your health, the rest of the teams, how far you're advancing or if you need to retreat. So exactly what Burn said, you're calling all the shots at that point. And you've got a different perspective because you're behind the players. And like Scoot said, I think they're really focused on the kills and whatnot. You being behind a bit and being able to use the metagun's distance of the beam, it really helps you with the perspective of being able to see things and call things out.
All right, well, let's move on to, like, how do you prioritize healing? Like, who do you heal first and who do you heal last?
Well, it depends if you're in an advantage situation or an unadvantaged situation. Are you defensive or offensive? If you're taking a lot of damage and being pushed back, you need to try and pick people who are... Some people are going to sacrifice themselves, which in a lot of situations is smart. You know, going for the enemy medic at a critical moment, and then knowing who's going to retreat with you and provide you defense. So you want to try and get a heal off as fast as you can to someone who's going to try and hang back and do damage, and then move on to someone who's going to be backing off with you. When it comes to pushing, you need to buff everyone. Buffing is the number one problem I see with newer medics is they like to concentrate on a single target, try to keep a single person alive, or they'll only bounce to people who need healing. The best thing you can do for your team is pre-buff everyone, especially right before a push. And once that pre-buff's out, that's healing that you don't have to do after the fact. Everyone gets to push in, and that's something you don't have to worry about, or that extra 3 points that someone managed to get out alive and get to a health pack. You know, so everyone is priority on pushing, on defense. You got to be selective about who's going to stay and who's going to be coming with you.
What about you, Sketch?
It's usually who's holding the line. If a scout's screaming across the map, medic, just hitting their call button, and I got a heavy who's trying to defend a sentry, you know, the priority is going to go to the heavy. And a good scout's going to come up to you because they've got that speed to do that. Another good key for prioritizing is seeing the plus symbol over people's heads when they call for medic. So that's a lot of the priority right there.
I try and heal a person who's taking damage. I mean, if someone's up in the front lines and they're being hit, I'm going to heal him rather than someone who's behind dealing damage from a distance, not really getting hit. But usually it's usually going to be the heavy classes, because if a scout's about to die, it doesn't hurt as much if he dies as if a heavy scout or a soldier dies, since they're the ones that can protect you the best.
We were talking about buffing teammates, but like, when are the best times to buff people? Because I know sometimes it's good to buff during setup, like buff everyone around you before the timer start, before the actual game starts, so you initially push out, you have a better chance of getting to the point or pushing the cart up to a certain spot, like on Badwater. You get to get at least under the bridge, for instance.
Or the soldiers won't lose as much when they're racket jumping to wherever they're going to be headed.
Yeah, for the soldiers in the demos, it's pretty much a free jump. Like, they can do a rocket jump or a sticky jump and be at full health whenever they get to where they want to go. And a lot of the time, it's good to buff somebody at the start of the round or before a big push. Especially for the scouts, they already have such a small amount of health that it really helps. Just that buff really makes a big difference for those scout-on-scout fights.
Exactly. That can really help with, you know, the one-on-ones. Say you're passing a ninja who's building up. If you just give him a quick buff while you're running with the rest of the blob or the group, that may help him in a one-on-one. Or if, just like Scoot just said, with a scout who may be off on his own battling in a one-on-one, that extra buff's going to help. And on some maps like Badlands, where you don't have that setup time, you got to again, prioritize who's going to get those buffs, trying to get to mid and win that mid battle. And in those cases, you'd hit your scouts, so because they've got the speed, and then you'd hit your soldiers because they're going to jump, and your demos as well, and kind of focus on them while you're racing to the midpoint, trying to get that midpoint as well.
So let me get this straight on, like, 5-point CP maps like Badlands and Granary and Turbine. No, not Turbine. Well, so basically, like, the fastest classes first, like scouts, for instance, and then the soldiers, demos, heavies, and the pyros, and then, if you got time, engineers, snipers, and spies. Am I correct?
That's pretty close, yeah. Hit the ones that you know you can jump, which is going to be your demos and your soldiers, as you're trying to get there first. And, well, there is a setup time. Then they can jump over the crates, but on another map is Yukon, where you're just racing the mid to get that advantage and get that midpoint.
I had to agree with the buffing engineers beforehand, because oftentimes when I'm playing spy, I usually use the ambassador and I headshot the engineer twice, drop him, and just run and set the stuff. If he's buffed beforehand, that doesn't usually work. So he has a chance to, you know, like, oh, hey, there's a spy over there, and my cover's blown, and I'm screwed, pretty much.
Right, and it's mutual, because that also helps build your Uber quicker.
Yeah.
When you're walking by and buffing folks.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of building Ubers, I remember there's a tactic where, say the match has already started, it's like already 3 minutes in, you're on Dust Bowl, and you're trying to get to the last point on, say, Dust Bowl Part 3, for instance. Does making a demo, like, damage himself or a soldier damage themselves and healing them as they do that, does that actually help build the Uber faster, or is that just a myth?
Absolutely, it helps build faster. The rate of building Uber when you're taking damage in the damage zone, which is below buffed, below full health, you can build an Uber in 40 seconds. And if you think about that, that's pretty quick. That you can have a push basically every 60 seconds, and after you're taking a full 20-second spawn when your medic dies, that's every minute you can have an Uber push if you're doing like clockwork, taking your damage. If you're trying to heal someone who's already buffed, that bumps up to, like, I think it's 80 seconds. Correct me if I'm wrong. And then if you're doing the, like, one of the worst tactics I see is you often see people behind the gate, and they'll have two medics focused on a single person, and I believe that bumps it all the way up to double the time, 160 seconds, in order to build Uber for each medic, which is just, comparing that to 40 seconds is ridiculous. So yes, always, if you have an opportunity where you're in a safe location, take that pre-damage. That way you build that Uber so much faster.
Does this tactic work only after setup, like 3 minutes in, or does this also work before setup? Because I've had people tell me it does not work during setup time.
From what I know, it does not work in setup time. I think they patched that out like in December after they released the game.
They patched it out per se, but what they actually did is they made all the Uber charge rates pre-round charge at the damage heal rate. So you can be charging a buff person pre-round and it's going to charge at 40 seconds. That way everyone is on a fair playing level to have an Uber when the timer starts. They basically leveled the playing field there.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other advice we can give us about booting Ubers? Because so far, it seems like the Soldier and Demos are like the only really ones you want to, you know, Uber in terms of, you know, for a push.
Well, stay alive.
Oh, yeah, that, obviously.
I'd have to say that Heavy and Pyro both definitely constitute as valid targets in certain situations. Dust Bowl Stage 1, the first part, nothing, in my opinion, beats 3 Uber Pyros, 1 out each door. I don't think you can stop that. I think that's an unstoppable combination on that map.
I have yet to see that done, but I'm actually kind of curious now.
Oh, yeah. It's virtually unstoppable because one Uber is going to make it to the house. And if you're real smart, you have a fourth medic pyro wait and spawn with Uber. And once the first point's cleared, you just run them straight to last and you'll roll the map in 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast that map can go sometimes.
And that's the other thing about using Ubers. If you have, you know, say 2 or 3 medics, and they all have an Uber, it's good to delay them, because, I mean, you can just keep going in, you know, you take one Uber in and the next. I mean, it also works if you send all of them in at the same time, but I've seen it work best if you just go in one at a time, pack each other up each time.
Speaking of, like, pushing with Ubers, when exactly should you hit it? It's like, should you hit it, like, the moment you're about to die or the moment you see stickies? Because sometimes I mess this part up and I end up losing an Uber because of it.
It's situational. A lot of the times you're waiting for the healing target to say hit it. if they know what they're doing. A lot of times it just comes with experience, and you got to know when to hit it because you can't take that damage and then just fail, because you're going to die and then your healing target's going to die. And then you have to respawn or wait for a second medic, if you forgot that on your team, to do the work of two medics.
And if you have to panic Uber because you're about to die, a good teammate will be aware of it and try to use it to his advantage anyway.
That's true.
On a side note, if you're ever medicing for Langrad, you will never have to worry about that problem.
No, he will tell you exactly what he wants, when he wants it, and where, which is very handy for, especially for, you know, like myself, where I'm a beginner at the game and I'm a beginner at the medic. So if I pair up with him, I know what I'm going to be doing because he's going to tell me exactly what he wants from me, and that's perfectly fine because it helps me to learn.
I thought he was supposed to be my bitch, not the other way around.
Yeah, it does make it a lot easier when you're first starting out and you have somebody who knows what they're doing and will call it out exactly when they want it. But after you get the hang of it a little more, you know, you just hit the Uber if you're about to die, or even if your buddy is about to die, because you don't want to be left there all alone. And if you're running a Kritzkrieg, if he hasn't told you to hit it, but you see a bunch of people clumped up together, you should just know that you have to hit it.
I've seen people like split Uber charges before in videos and all that, but I heard this was patched. Does this still kind of work, or is splitting Ubers between two classes not a good idea anymore?
It still works. I actually do it a lot. You just basically flick it between two or more healing targets, and it almost kind of sticks to them for a second or two, and you can go back and forth quickly. And I use it kind of like a strategy to confuse the enemy, because they're obviously not going to focus on who's Ubered because they're invincible. But if you got another one coming up, they'll focus on, like, in a demo. Like, if you hit a soldier and the demo's not Ubered, they'll focus on the demo. I've seen a lot. And then I'll flick it to the demo. And then it's really confusing strategy. So it helps with the push a lot of times.
How do you go about doing that? Do you just move the stream off of the one guy to the other one? Or how do you do it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, is there, like, a set time period where, like, the Uber will stay there for a little bit and then it disappears, or?
Well, the standard time is 8 seconds, but if you do split it, you lose some time off of there. I think Burn said, while we were talking before, you lose 2 seconds. Is that right, Burn?
Yeah, it basically takes you 1 second to acquire a new target, and you lose another second before you can start the Uber. So it's a 2 second loss pretty much each time you want to switch.
For, like, the demo who's been Ubered and did make just switched off of him, how long does he have before that Uber just, like, stops sticking to him and just is just completely
basically
gone?
Basically 1 second.
You do it a few times, you'll see how it works.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just 1 second, but it's just enough time to where you can have him and another person, maybe a third, constantly Ubered, even though your Uber's going to run out a lot faster than if you just stuck to one person.
Does this also work for Kritzkriegs? Or does it only work with the metagun Ubers?
As far as I know, it does work for Kritzkriegs.
Yes, it works for Chris as well.
All right.
And that's the thing with that is that it seems like it's actually an instant switch, and it doesn't stick on the person a little after you've taken it off of them. So I don't like doing it just because, you know, it takes the person a second to realize that you critzed them, and by the time you take it off and put it on somebody else, they'll start shooting, but it's not a critical shot.
There's a single strategy that I do like to use with switching Kritzkrieg. Most of the time, yeah, if it's a single person around, you definitely, well, yeah, no switching. But if you can have a soldier and a demoman who know what they're doing, you can use the soldier, hit him first, have him fire some crit rockets. Everyone's scared to death of crit rockets. You fire crit rockets at a corner, everyone's going to run away from that corner. Well, then you immediately switch to the demo man who lobs beautiful crit stickies right to where everyone's running away from. And that's right there. That's a beautiful combo.
That's just diabolical.
And if I'm not mistaken, the crit stickies don't actually go away. Once they're planted, they stay crits, right?
Correct.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and that also kind of fixes the problem with critzing a soldier. He only has 4 rockets, and he's going to run out of all 4 before the Kritzkrieg's over, so he usually switches over to the shotgun. So you could just switch it over to the demo, and he can lob those stickies.
That is absolutely gorgeous.
Yep. Another pro tip is to make sure that they're loaded before you hit it, if you have that chance. So it goes
very
back,
good call.
It goes back to communication. I don't know, you know, starting out, I don't know how many times I've hit someone and said, oh crap, I wasn't even loaded, why'd you hit me? So use your mic. That's probably the best weapon you've got.
How about snipers, spies, and scouts? Those are usually the main ones who are coming after you and trying to kill you. How do you avoid them? How do you take care of them?
Snipers, you don't peek. Just learn to be patient, hang around the corner, and tell your targets, yeah, you're going to have to sneak back around the corner if you want to heal. Be patient. Don't peek.
Yeah. I'd say snipers right now are my most hated class because it can happen in a split second, and you don't even see it coming.
Kind of makes you wish they all went huntsmen because that seems like the most... It seems like the huntsman is just the least effective way to kill a medic.
Yeah. I think some other good strategies for, I guess, all of those classes is kind of stay in constant motion and use your speed to your advantage. The scout is the fastest one, but you're the second fastest on the team. So if you constantly stay in motion, the spy is not going to have an easy time to backstab you. And the sniper can't hone in on your head. And you can also use heavier classes as meat shields.
What about spies? Just check your back every couple of seconds, so to speak, or like just check your back pretty much, right, for spies? That's pretty much all you need to know.
Pretty much. If you can get around a corner and put your back against the wall, that's the best thing you can do. If not, then you know, usually you just want to check behind every now and again.
Helps to know if there's a spy around and how often they come around.
Yeah, that's true. Well, then we recovered all that, so I guess we're going to go to a quick break and we'll be back to you guys in a bit.
Somebody has Wi-Fi and it tries to cross over or what, I don't know, but every once in a while, and it ends up making me sound like some kind of weird robot or something.
Yeah.
Get out.
Not that kind of robot.
Are you talking about this kind of robot?
Oh, shit!
Something like that, yeah.
What the hell was that?
That was Satan. He stopped in for a visit. He plays medic too.
What's his name? What?
His Ubers last 16 seconds.
Back. We had a bit of an interesting break. We had a strange visitor, but we will continue on with the discussion, and I will pass it back over to What's Your Deal?
Alright guys, more often than not, you'll have usually one medic on a team just because for some reason people don't want to play a medic. Reasons why, I do not know, but say you have two medics, and you know, you're trying to coordinate a push, or you're trying to defend a point. What's some advice you can give to someone else about working together with another medic?
From the get-go, one of you can choose to go regular metagun, to use a regular Uber, and the other one can use the crits, and that's a good strategy. A lot of times I see noobs not doing this, but every time you come in contact with another medic who's in range, give them a buff, because they're doing the same job you are, and that extra oomph helps protect you and keep you healing, basically.
Yes, get your spot on with the buffs. Anytime a medic sees another medic, it should always be a pre-buff, and you know, both of them, just be medic love, big circle.
Exactly.
If there's three medics, it needs to be a big three-way going on there, you know, and then it makes it easy to buff everyone else because you don't have to worry about yourself at all. You can peek, right. you can take a headshot and not die as long as you get back into your medic little triangle going there. So yeah, always buff.
Thank you, Herr Doctor.
Another tactic I've been using recently is if the other medic has a crits and they're about to hit it, I'll say, I'm going to buff you to give them some extra protection, because when you crits, you're obviously not invulnerable.
Yeah.
So if you keep them buffed, they've got the other team focused on taking that medic out. And if buff, he's a lot more effective with the healing target he's hitting. So you've basically got a three-player push there.
Yeah, and I've been doing that for a while too. If a medic's going to go in, I try and stay on him as long as I can. And if I'm running an Uber, I try and if he's about to die, I just hit that Uber, or if I'm about to die, and then bounce it between him and the person he's critsing.
Is it smart to Uber the medic who's critsing, and then that way he's protected?
I try not to Uber just so I can use it on somebody else, but if he's about to die, then yeah, I will, just because he's not invulnerable and you don't want that crits creep to end up sooner than it should if it can do a lot more damage.
Yeah, and to add to that, you can also split the Uber between the critsing medic and your healing target. So you've really got a tremendous combination right there. You know, picture a heavy hitting a crits down a hallway, and then they're him and his medic, and then you are all Uber. So that's a lot of pain going to the other team.
That sounds terrifying.
that's one thing a lot of people don't know, that you can crits and Uber the same person at the same time.
That's kind of scary, actually. It's like a Terminator walking forward. I've seen people do this a couple of times, having chaining medics together, like one Uber's a medic and he runs with the Uber saw, kills a few people, and then goes back and forth. That's a failed strategy, am I correct?
It's a gimmick. It's cool. I mean, in certain situations, you pull it off. If you're at like 78% and there's another medic there healing you, and you get in a lucky bone saw and get Uber pop and hit him, and he's at 78% and he can get a bone saw, that's one thing. But to purposely go out and attempt to try and do a medic combo, yeah, that's very un-team play-like behavior, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I hate to see that happening because they're not using the role as it was intended.
Yeah, it's as if they're trying to battle medic, and that obviously never really works out.
Onto that as well, battle medicing, does it have some usage, or is it like, hey, shoot me?
Only when retreating or in situations of obvious advantage. You know, if you're on a last capture point and it's an injured scout and you're there with full health and everyone else is down, yep, go for the scout. But if there's three of them up and you just lost your healing target and you're at 80%, time to run away. You know, so it's situational, but it's definitely a full-on battle medic. Never something that you want to commit to.
Yeah, you're going to be that much more of a target. Personally, I let the other classes do the heavy lifting. And just like Burn said, I only whip out the Bloodsucker to retreat and maybe leech off some health so I can get back with the main group.
Yeah, and the only other time
I disagree with you on the blood slogger, though, man. That's not. I mean, I understand the tactic on the retreat, trying to get the advantageous health there, but for the most part, the regen rate on the regular syringe gun is going to help you more over time than that other one ever would.
Yeah, I prefer to use it too, because I mean, honestly, you're going to spend more time healing somebody else trying to stay behind a corner than you are running from, you know, a scout that's trying to chase you after your buddy died or whatever. So, I mean, those 3 health a second really help.
Okay, well, is there any differences in playing competitively and playing in a pub?
No, they're pretty much the same. Was that the sarcasm detector going off? Because I thought it's drastically different. Drastically different.
It feels like a whole other game.
Yeah, my biggest thing, the biggest mistake I make transitioning from competitive play to pubs is in competitive play, I can trust everyone. I go to a pub, and I often catch myself trusting someone, and I realize after the fact that was someone I should not have been trusting to know how to play their role whatsoever. You know, I'm in a situation where I put themselves at a slight disadvantage, but possible good outcome, but yeah, they tend to just let me down.
Yeah, I mean, there's been times when, you know, your whole team dies except for that one scout, and you've got an Uber, and you know, in competitive play, you can pretty much hit it and know that scout is probably going to kill stuff. But you know, not so much in pubs. You can't really rely on scouts for that.
That's another thing I noticed. Is a scout a lot more per se overpowered in competitive play than he is in pub play? Or?
No, the scout's just played a lot more intelligently, and the scout another deal is the player maximum limit. With that many more people on a map, there's a lot less often that a scout's going to get a clear path to get a flank on a target, whereas in competitive play with only 6 players on each side, if you lose 2 or 3 people, it leaves a lot of choke points open and let scouts get through. Whereas in the famous roads of Joe Crow, I've got to run by.
Yeah, and you know, in competitive play, the scouts are always going to try and wait for that opportunity when you know the main group is distracting you up ahead, and you know, they can come in from the flank and get that run by on the medic.
How about you, Skesh? Have you ever played competitively, or are you mostly a pupper?
I have not played competitively.
Okay.
I've played a few Friday night fights. That's probably the closest I've gotten.
Is TF2 lobby a lot like playing competitively, just for people who who want to try it out?
Yes. Yes, you should definitely try TF2 lobby. Even if you're not really interested in competitive play, you should go see what the 6v6 format looks like. And a lot of people think it's purely constrained to the standard class loadout of two scouts, two soldiers, a demo, and a medic, but it's not at all. There's a lot of situations where we throw the wrench in, so to speak, and pull out an NG or a heavy or a pyro or spy, sniper, all those see their times.
It's very situational when you can use them, but they're all useful in their own different situations.
Let's move on to the Mega and the Crits Krieg. We already talked about this earlier, but generally, should you just keep using the Mega Gun on offense and the Crits Krieg on defense, or is it just depending on the situation at hand?
I'd almost have to switch those roles. I'd have to put, Crits Krieg is often very handy for offense, but I would say Crits Krieg is not too handy, in my opinion, for defense, unless you have an Uber in pocket. If you have an Uber already stored, then going another medic with crits to push up ahead and try and take out their medic prematurely is a good strategy. But to be on defense and only have a single Uber and push out, I don't think that's a good idea at all.
I thought the Crits Krieg is largely to be used on defense, at least as I was told. Was I misled here?
Well, I was going to say the way I like playing it is, just like that. I like using a Crits Krieg for defense. Unless I'm the only medic, then yeah, I probably will just stick to the regular Uber. But on offense, I like having a just normal Uber. And if we have enough medics, then I like to run a Crits Krieg just because it seems like most people just expect offense to have normal Ubers and not a Crits Krieg, so it kind of catches them off guard.
Yeah, that's true. And I like the crits on payload maps.
Yeah, people don't usually expect that coming, and oftentimes it's usually a meat grinder when that happens, especially if it's heavy.
An important aspect about crits versus Uber is crits definitely builds a lot faster. I think it builds in 30 seconds compared to 40 at the highest build times. So
it's a fourth faster.
Yeah, so if your medic happens to go down and their medic stayed up, you can almost race them back to crits and take them out before they get a chance to use their regular Uber.
Yeah, because it recharges so quickly. Good strategy is to use it early and often and don't wait for the perfect opportunity to line up having half the other team in some area where you could wipe them out. Just keep popping it whenever you get it. It's better to wipe out two than to get backstabbed or something, just trying to set up the perfect kill streak.
You know, it's kind of different when you're doing a payload map or a map like Dust Bowl or Gold Rush. That's when you can do a Crits Krieg on defense and an Uber on offense, but it's totally different in, 5 CP maps. You could do either or, but most of the time people just stick to the regular Uber, it seems.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the syringe guns. You have two of them. You have the ordinary syringe gun, which is, self-explanatory, and then you have the Bloodsauger. And from what I understand, you have a higher self-healing rate with the syringe gun, as you regenerate 5 health per second or something like that, whereas compared to the Bloodsauger, it's 3 seconds or 2 seconds. But with every successful hit you get with the Bloodsauger, you get +3 health, I believe. Which are you guys usually use, and which one's generally recommended?
Well, it's actually, with the normal syringe gun, it's 3 health per second. And then with the Bloodsauger, it's 1 per second, but you get 3 health for every needle that lands. But I personally prefer the syringe gun, just because, like I said earlier, you're going to be hanging back a lot of the time. And, in case somebody else swiped the health pack, then you got to wait for it. You're going to get your health back a lot faster with the syringe gun than you would with the Bloodsauger.
Now, does one do more damage than the other?
I don't believe so. I think the only difference is the Bloodsauger just has the extra healing per hit. That's it.
I guess I'm just used to using the blood, so I stick with that. And
give it a try.
Switch the syringe over, gun? Man.
Yeah, you're going to feel that extra health as you're backing away, you're running away, you're injured, oh no, you're going down, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, my health bar just turned white again. That's cool. Yeah.
I've gone back and forth before, but I guess I'm more used to the blood. But with your recommendation, I just may try it.
Well, it was only recently updated, so you can't really blame them. I mean, it wasn't like more than, I think it was 6 months ago that they changed it, was it? To make the unlocks actually have some disadvantages to them, whereas before it seems like everyone was using the Bloodsucker and the Ubersaw, and no one was using the original original weapons.
Right, and it used to be the case that the Blood did not crit. I don't know if that's been changed or not.
I think it has. I think it crits now. They decided that no crits was not really a legit downside, I guess, or something like that.
Yeah, and for me personally, I just don't want to be in situations where I have to use either one. To tell you the truth, I'd rather just be staying on the metaguns. So it's kind of last-ditch things for me, last resorts.
Yeah, the only time I've ever used it is if I got caught by myself or needed to defend myself quickly.
Anything you want to say about it, Scoot?
Well, I was going to say that's exactly the reason why I prefer the syringe gun, is you usually want to stick to your medigun, so that way you also get the additional health per second instead of the Blitzhogger, whereas before it used to be, you know, there wasn't any real downside to it, so you would get 3 health per second plus 3 more for each needle you got on somebody in case you were running away. But ever since the update, I went to the syringe gun.
Well, we need to move on to the Ubersaw and the Bonesaw. The Ubersaw, for those of you who don't know, with every successful melee hit, the Ubersaw will add 25% or 15%, I think it is, to your Uber charge, which will help you build up an Uber faster if, like, say, there's a lot of spies around and you pick a couple off just to give you a little extra boost. Whereas the Bonesaw, last time I checked, there wasn't really much there. I mean, is there any reason to really use the Bonesaw? Or?
The Bonesaw has a faster hit rate.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Technically, your damage over time with the Bonesaw is better. And really, in my opinion, this is probably one of the best balanced choices in the game. You have to make the decision between the very ill-often occasional opportunity to grab an extra 25% of Uber, or you go with the occasionally used, slightly better chance of hitting someone more than once. Myself, I lean towards getting the Uber because you really don't pull out a Bonesaw that often. And if you do, normally it's in a low health situation for both you and the person that is about to attack you. But yeah, that's definitely
when you're dicking around priming.
Yeah, true. Yeah. True. If in a priming situation, it might be better to go with the normal Bonesaw. That way you could kill more noobs faster.
Mm-hmm. Just don't.
Yeah, I use it as a last resort.
Personally, I pull out one of the guns first because I don't want anything getting that close to me anyway.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do as well.
Yeah, it kind of depends. I mean, like on a scout, usually scouts won't get up in your face so much, so you have to use the syringe gun or the Blitzhogger, and it's usually always with spies that I end up using it. If I, you know, happen to turn around quick enough and see them there, they're right there, and it's an easy 25% on that Uber.
Yeah, same. That's the main reason why I keep the Uber, so just as a lot of times I know there's going to be at least one or two spies looking around, so it's an easy, you know, boost, because that's always useful, especially in defense. All right, well, I think that just about covers everything. Is there anything else y'all want to talk about before we end this? Or?
Well, I'd just like to mention that medics are obviously the most intelligent superior class in the game.
They probably are one of the most important.
They are the most important.
Yeah, I was going to say they're probably the most important, because a lot of the time it boils down to Ubers, like who gets the cap or who wins the game.
Yeah, they definitely make the game unique. I mean, you're not going to find this mechanic in any other game on this kind of level where one class really helps pull the team so much.
And even if you're a noob medic, your team is still going to like you because you're playing medic.
Medic is
so great. If you want people to like you and have lots of friends, play the medic.
As long as you know to push the number two and then point at people, because trying to shoot people as medic really makes us mad, actually.
Yeah.
Medic is credit to team.
Well, I guess with that, we will sign off. So thank you, guys, for coming on and sharing your knowledge with us.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for putting this together.
Thanks for having us.
Have a good evening.